Well, here we are, more than halfway through this all-too-short 2024 Christmas season. The big day is just over a week away, and no doubt you're making the last of your preparations, whether it's shopping, wrapping, baking, packing, or just making sure you get in all the Christmas movies you wanted to watch or the events you wanted to attend. This is the part of the season where excitement is high. The plans are coming together, and we are in that particular frame of mind for reminiscing about all of our favorite Christmas memories. And so, once again, it's time for one of my favorite traditions here on Christmas Past, dedicating an entire episode to you. You and the stories that paint a personal picture of your life through Christmas. I love these little glimpses into other people's lives, families, memories, and all the different ways that Christmas can be celebrated and loved and made special and personal. So, get cozy. You're invited to another Christmas Past family gathering and a trip down memory lane. First up, we're going way back in time, nearly 175 years. Well, sorta. I do a bit of time traveling every year, back to Victorian London, as presented by the Bay Area's Great Dickens Christmas Fair. This annual event is one of my favorite things about living and celebrating Christmas in California, and this year is a big one for the Dickens Fair. It's their Ruby Jubilee, marking 40 years of bringing this uniquely festive and immersive experience to the area. I spoke with one of the performers who's been part of the fair for decades and asked him to share some memories.
Can you just tell me your name again?
Orris Pennymaker. The first time I joined them was back in the 80s. But steady now, here at this location, for the last 10 years. But yeah, we go back all the way to the 80s.
And how has the fair changed since you started?
Well, it's done nothing but grow and grow and improve and improve.
And how's that been able to happen?
Well, some of it came about because they're in the same space, and that has been allowed them to actually grow into the space and to expand their theatricality instead of being a vagabond group moving from space to space and venue to venue.
Do you miss anything about the old version?
The freezing temperatures. No, there are a great many adventures that we had. That was all well and good. But the people have always been a steady influence and a lovely group of people to work with. So you really don't get a chance to long for the old days, because the new days are just as good.
I also ran into Brooke, who has a very special connection to the Dickens Fair and a childhood's worth of Christmas memories.
One of my fun facts at school, when they went around the classroom when you were new, asking people, oh, what's something fun about you? And I would say, my grandfather is Father Christmas. My grandfather is Will Wood, and he has been a part of the fair for a really long time. He's played Father Christmas here. He was actually the first Father Christmas of the Dickens Fair, so he is the OG Father Christmas. So it was just a great experience to have someone like that in my life and be able to share that with everyone else.
When you came to the fair, did you get special treatment from him in front of everybody?
Definitely not. I wish I did, but I definitely think my Christmas wishes came true because he would always get me what I asked for whenever I would come sit on his lap over at the stage. But other than that, I think he tried to keep it pretty even for everyone and make everyone feel the Christmas spirit and not just his granddaughters.
Well, visiting Victorian London and thinking about Dickens has me in a literary frame of mind, so how about a poem? I received this original poem in the mail recently, along with a lovely handwritten card from my new friends Chris and Laura in Australia. Laura wrote the poem, and it goes a little something like this. Our favorite time of joy and cheer comes to us just once a year. As we wait, the leaves turn gold, fires are lit to ward off the cold. We snuggle under blankets, fully aware our wait continues, but we're halfway there. As the frost breaks and the days begin to warm, thoughts of tinsel and elves start to form. As flowers bloom to our gardens we tend, gleeful that our interlude has come to an end. The day we have longed for is here at last, it's the cherished return of Christmas past. Once more our hearts and souls are fed as we listen to cozy tales whilst nestled in bed. These stories of old bring us so much pleasure. We thank you greatly for creating this treasure. I cannot tell you how touched and grateful I was to receive that. A poem about Christmas past. Thank you, Laura, for sharing your talent with us. And thank you, Chris, for reaching out this year. Merry Christmas to both of you. Now, speaking of poems, how about that most famous Christmas poem of all, A Visit from St. Nicholas? Some have said that it's not only the most famous Christmas poem, but also the most famous of any poem in the English language. Untold numbers of families have enjoyed that poem at Christmas time. And for Tammy in New Brunswick, it has become not only a cherished tradition, but also a way of preserving the memories of loved ones.
In 2011, I purchased the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas Hallmark recordable book and decided to surprise my family with a recording session on Christmas Eve. Each of us read parts. We laughed until we cried. It was so amazing and fun. And now, after having lost my baby sister and my grandmother and my step-grandfather, I listen with such wonderful memories to the fun that we had. Merry Christmas. Thank you for sharing my memory.
Thank you, Tammy. And on behalf of the entire Christmas Past family, I was sorry to hear of your loss. Okay, from the night before Christmas, let's go to the morning after the night before, or in other words, Christmas morning, where of course many gifts get opened. Kurt in Missouri is here to tell us the story of one gift from many years ago.
My Christmas memory comes some 60 years ago. I was about 10 years old. My mom was a secretary, my dad was a printer. We did not have a lot of extra cash around. And my dad, sometime in October, I guess, told my mom, well, I'm going to join a bowling league that bowls at night. So periodically after work, he would go out to dinner and then go to his bowling league. On Christmas Eve day, and a truck pulled up. My mom came to the door and she said, can I help you? And he said, yes, I have a delivery for you. And it was a color TV. Come to find out that my dad was not bowling at night. He was working overtime and acquired the money to buy the TV for my mom. And it was one of the best Christmas Eves in my memory. Thanks. Merry Christmas.
As the dad of a young child, there's something I'm having trouble adjusting to when it comes to TV Christmas specials. With everything streaming and on demand nowadays, I must admit that it feels like some of the specialness is gone. Experiencing a special as a, well, special occasion, and after a bit of build-up at that, is something that my son will never really experience, at least not the way I did, or the way that Gerald in Michigan did.
So, as a kid, I was born in the late 60s, so I grew up in the 70s, you know, with Santa and all the wonderful cartoons that would come on Saturdays. But more precisely, the things that were really special to me were those holiday specials that would come on sometimes at night, and then sometimes it would be in the afternoon or the weekends. But one of the greatest joys I always had was looking through the TV guide and just seeing, you know, when is Frosty coming on, or when is Rudolph coming on, and then the family getting together, and we watched this as a family unit. And I'm talking multi-generational. My grandparents, my parents, and myself, we all would get together and we would eat snacks, and it was a family event and activity. And for me, that is one of my favorite memories of Christmas past. Just celebrating the holidays or anticipating the Christmas season by watching these wonderful shows that come on local television, you know, CBS, NBC, ABC. We only had three or four channels at that time. So it was always something really special when the family could get together.
Well, even if little Dashiell and I never share that joy of appointment television at Christmas, at least we'll share the excitement that comes with decorating the house. His birthday is in early November, and we're not allowed to decorate before then, but after that, it's fair game. Keziah in Scotland knows all about decorating early, but for her, there's an additional meaning.
I've always really enjoyed decorating for Christmas, and I hit the jackpot a few years ago when I met my partner, and it turns out he also loves decorating for Christmas. So now, we celebrate our anniversary at the start of November each year by decorating our house to look like Santa's grotto. This year, we have counted 10 different trees. We have multiple ones in each room and a real one outside. I just think it's so magical that I get to do this every single year with him, and I look forward to getting to share this next year with our newly arrived little girl.
Big hugs and congrats to Keziah in welcoming a new member to her family. And best wishes for all of the many Christmas memories you'll make together. Speaking of making memories over the years with family, let's hear from Zoe in England about how she combines memories made throughout the year with the joy of the season.
My Christmas tradition is all around Christmas decorations. When my sister and I were small, my mum every year would take us to a temporary shop at our local mall which sold Christmas decorations in the month leading up to Christmas, and we would both choose out a Christmas decoration to put on the tree that year. It meant that as we grew up, our tree grew up with us, and my sister and I have then continued this, but we've turned it into a tradition where we collect Christmas decorations from all the countries that we've been to and all the fabulous holidays that we've been on. So now our Christmas tree is a wonderful walk down memory lane every year when we put it up, and we get to look at all of the wonderful trips and memories that we've had over the years together. Thank you so much for the podcast and all that you do, and we wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Of course, Christmas just wouldn't be the same without the music. We all have our favorite songs and our favorite renditions of them, whether it's an a cappella Silent Night or a piano and vocals Winter Wonderland. But how about Frosty the Snowman on a tuba? Here's Danielle in Toronto to tell us more.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to share a Christmas memory of mine from when I was a student at Western University's Don Wright Faculty of Music in London, Ontario, Canada. Tuba Christmas is a cherished tradition held every December during the last week of classes before Christmas. This festive celebration brings together the entire music faculty, students and staff, to mark the end of the semester and celebrate the holiday season. The highlight of the event, and namesake, is the tradition of the tuba studio players as the ensemble that provides accompaniment to a joyful sing-along of Christmas carols. The gathering always created a warm and inclusive atmosphere, which involved delicious Christmas treats, hot chocolate, and of course, great music. Tuba Christmas is one of my best memories as a student at Western Music, but it's also one of my fondest Christmas memories as an adult. There's just something so joyful about singing Christmas carols with a group of people. As Buddy the Elf puts it, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Merry Christmas!
Let's stick with this music theme for a little bit. Not Christmas music, but music for Christmas, or in other words, music given as a gift. Back in the days of physical media, I'd always look forward to receiving a new cassette or CD from my favorite artist as a Christmas gift. Bea in England can relate.
The year was 1992. I was obsessed with music, and I'd asked one of my aunts or uncles if I could have the new Bon Jovi album, Keep the Faith, which had dropped in November of 92. I was being looked after by, I say, a babysitter. My mum and dad never went out, so they just got my best friend's sister to keep an eye on me, so let's just say boundaries weren't really in place because it was just my best friend's big sister. Under the tree I spotted what looked like a cassette shaped gift, so despite being an absolute angel the rest of the time, I very carefully unwrapped the gift. Lo and behold, it was the Bon Jovi album. I listened to it all the way through and then popped it back in its case, rewrapped it along the exact same creases, put it under the tree, and no one ever knew, apart from Lizzie, bless her, who kept my secret all these years. And now, well, now you all know. Have a great Christmas, everyone.
Now that wasn't the right thing to do, of course, but it was Bon Jovi, so I think we can all understand and we'll give B a pass. And we'll give ourselves one final Christmas memory to round things out. Of course, Christmas is all about family. There's nothing quite like a big family Christmas party where the host is bursting at the seams and abuzz with activity. Here's Tim from Vermont to tell us more.
I am originally from South Carolina. One Christmas, my faraway exotic cousins from Dallas and New Mexico all made it home. So that Christmas, all my aunts and uncles, all my cousins, everybody was there, and it was just the craziest day. And I remember pictures of that holiday and the toys and just a lot of silliness of the day. Nobody got great big crazy presents, but people had toy guns and dolls and all this other stuff that kids really love to have. It's what I measure every Christmas by.
And with that, it's time for this family gathering to come to an end. My thanks to Horace Pennymaker, or the performer who plays him, Brooke, Chris and Laura, Tammy, Kurt, Gerald, Keziah, Zoe, Danielle, Bee, and Tim for sharing their Christmas memories. Special thanks also to Denise Lamott for setting up some of the interviews at the Dickens Fair, and thanks also to Kevin Patterson and everyone from the Dickens Fair for welcoming me back this year. Well, my goodness, everyone, is there really only more than a week left in the season? On the one hand, there's the feeling of heightened anticipation, but on the other, there's the feeling that things are near to winding down. But don't you worry, there's still plenty of Christmas cheer yet to come here on Christmas Past. Stay with me all the way up till Christmas Day. I'll see you soon. Christmas Past is produced in wonderful Willow Glen, California, by yours truly, Brian Earle. You can write me anytime, and I always love to hear from you. I'm at ChristmasPastPodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach me on social media. You'll find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. And join our private Christmas Past Facebook group if you haven't yet. And if you're really feeling the Christmas spirit, why not help more people discover this show? It's as simple as telling a friend about it or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. If you do leave a review, I'll send you a Christmas Past sticker, and a handwritten Christmas card is my way of saying thanks. Reach out for details, and until we meet again, may your days be merry and bright.